Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Well, every Christmas season, we get together with our buds at the Johnson County Library to talk about good kids' books to consider for gifts. This year is no exception, and we're going to spice our conversation this morning by visiting with a real, honest-to-goodness author, Andrea Warren, who lives in Prairie Village. She's written a new book, Charles Dickens and the Street Children of London. This is a story of how Charles Dickens developed his affinity for the poor, and that was an affinity that led him to portray the poor in his many books as the worthy people he knew them to be. So first this morning, some introductions. Andrea Warden, good morning. Nice to have you, Andrea. Nice to have you.
Hi, Steve. Nice to be here.
And back with us again from the Johnson County Public Library, Debbie McLeod, the youth collection specialist who's on the very brink of retirement. Debbie, congratulations.
Oh.
Always good, Steve. To have you here.
Yeah, I'll still be around.
That's good. Kate Pickett's also here. She's the young adult librarian. Kate, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
And Dennis Frost is here. He's the youth specialist from the Central Library in Johnson County. Dennis, happy holidays to you, too.
Good morning.
Well, Andrea, let's start with your new book on Charles Dickens. I mean, there is a pivot point in his young life, in young Charles Dickens' life, where at age 12, he is sent off to work at Warren's blacking factory, of all places.
No relation.
Yeah. Well, why was this such a jolt to him to go there, Andrea?
Well, what it did was it took him from being a middle-class boy into being a working-class boy. Mm-hmm. And the significance of that is that Dickens had been taught that the lower classes were diseased, that they were unworthy, that they deserved being in that station in life, and that they shouldn't aspire to anything better. And what he found out was that they were people just like him. He was working with boys his age, and they had the same aspirations and goals and actually were kind to him. In fact, the kindest of all was a large orphan boy named Bob Fagin, of all things. Dickens later borrowed his name for one of his most villainous of villains.
Well, Dickens, for sure, did not want to be there.
Absolutely not.
In the blacking factory, right?
The family had sunk into debt. His father had been raised on a mansion with a wealthy family. His parents were servants, but he had seen all this life, and he wanted it for himself, and he always pretended to be above his station. So he would dress like a gentleman, and he would spend like a gentleman, too, but he actually was a naval pay clerk, so that would have kept his family solidly in the middle class, but he was constantly in debt. That finally caught up with the family, and he was thrown into debtor's prison. And you don't get out of debtor's prison until your debts are paid, one of those ironies of life. And Dickens' mother and three younger siblings went to live with the father in prison because their only alternative was to move into the workhouse. Dickens worked in this factory and took care of himself. He lived in a children's boarding house.
What got made at Warren's blacking factory? What happened there?
Well, they made boot black. And, you know,
like
a bottle.
Stuff.
Like exactly, mm-hmm. that you put on your shoes and your boots. And as children's labor goes, it wasn't that bad a job. But it was 10 hours a day, 6 days a week for very, very low wages. And this factory sat right on the edge of the Thames River. It was cold in winter. It was hot in summer. There were rats everywhere.
And tell us about the rats, because you described them so well in the book. Dickens was just completely grossed out by all the rats.
He was indeed, because he had never lived like that. I mean, his family had again, been solidly middle class. They had a char girl who lived with them, who'd come out of a workhouse, who did all that hard labor. So this was a real change in circumstances for him.
Wow. What impact did this job have on him, Andrea?
Well, what it did, it went into him at such a deep level that he never recovered from it. So years later, he could be walking the streets of London, and if he'd come across one of the streets he'd taken to work, the factory was eventually torn down, but it would just all come flooding back, that feeling of insecurity, of having no power, of having no money, of having to labor long and hard, of never knowing what his future was. And he desperately wanted an education. Well, if you're working 6 days a week in a bootblack factory, you're not going to school. School costs money. His parents didn't have the money to pay his tuition. He actually had very little formal education. One thinks from reading him that he probably went to Oxford, but in truth, he had only several years of schooling, and he was a self-educated man. Hmm. He got his training to be a writer through journalism. He rose to the ranks as a court reporter.
There's hope for us. Yeah.
Absolutely, because he became a political reporter, and he went out traveling throughout England and got to know the people, the politics, the circumstances of their lives. This is when he really saw child labor, getting into those huge factories in Birmingham, Manchester and seeing what life truly was like for working children. I mean, he'd seen it in London too, but not on quite the scale of the factories that he saw there. And he was horrified by it, and he really wanted to do something about it.
We're visiting with Andrea Warren of Prairie Village about her new book, Charles Dickens and the Street Children of London. And we should point out, this book is for kids.
It is. It's for readers 8 and up.
Okay.
Yes.
And how do they take to it? What's been your reaction so
far?
Well,
the book's brand new, but initial reaction is wonderful.
Yeah.
Kids are sitting down with it, and they can't put it down. I mean, they thought they knew. We sort of think we know poverty because we see it on TV, or we see it in our own city to a little degree, depending on where you live. And they just had no idea that things could be this bad. London in the 1830s, when Dickens started writing his novels, was a medieval city in many ways. And the slums, the overwhelming stench.
And the street children. Talk about the street children, how common they were in
so
London
common.
In those days.
You know, nobody ever was taking a census, so we don't know. In the year of 1850, New York City estimated it had 30,000 street children, because they did do a census that year. London didn't do that. I can easily use the figure of tens of thousands, but it's probably way understated. And a lot of these kids were orphans. Some of them were simply turned out by their parents. This happened all over the world. It still happens all over the world. Parents are alcoholic. There's no welfare system. There's nobody looking after these kids. There's no foster care system. And they end up on the streets.
And as you walk down the streets of London back in those days, they were
everywhere.
Everywhere.
In the shadows. In the shadows.
Almost hard to picture.
Hard to picture for us. I mean, we see the sort of nostalgic prints of the little flower girls, and you'd see some children at the markets, and you see the illustrations in Dickens' books of in Oliver Twist, for example, when the Artful Dodger is teaching Oliver how to be a pickpocket. So you sort of have these images, but they were everywhere. And the challenge for me was to reconstruct London in that period of time and to make kids feel what that was like, to make them sense every bit of it. And so I do open the book there, and I open it with Dickens watching, because he was he walked sometimes 20 miles a day throughout the streets of London. This was a lifelong habit. This is where his story ideas came from. It's how he learned all these different dialects and made everything so realistic, because he wrote about what he saw in his essays and his novels.
You know, I think people today forget exactly what kind of impact Charles Dickens had in terms of how the popular view of poorer folks was back in those days. What impact did he have? Remind us of that.
It cannot be overstated. He was the lower classes considered him their spokesman. The upper classes adored him too, because he gave them such wonderful stories. And the overall thing that he did was that when people would read his books, what they didn't know was that Dickens was very subtly at work, sort of behind the scenes, getting them to do things he wanted them to do. And as a result of that, some of the worst slums were torn down. Many, many things happened. Dickens was an environmentalist before we knew that word, helping to clear up pollution in the air, helping to get medical care to slum children. He was very much a proponent for the ragged schools, which was a fledgling movement at the beginning of Dickens' career, to educate slum children. But he really felt that education was the key. He'd always known that in his own life, and he really believed it for the masses of the poor. And it comes through, you know, stories like A Christmas Carol. We think, oh, it's this wonderful ghost story, and we have this cranky old Scrooge, and by morning he's this wonderful person. There's so much more. There's so many things going on in that, so many themes, so many layers of what happens. And the reason that Dickens picked a ghost story to begin with, because the British were so fascinated with the paranormal, and so he thought they would read a story, not about one ghost, but about three ghosts. But, you know, the warning that comes through when you see the spirit of Christmas present, and under the robes are the boy and the girl, ignorance and want. Some people will watch the play or read the book and pass right over that. And you ask them about it later and they don't even remember it. But once you understand what Dickens was doing with that little scene, now you really focus on it, because he was saying, this is your warning, Great Britain. You know, take care of the poor or they're going to rise up. The same thing that happened in France with the revolution is going to happen here.
You have a deep interest in the welfare of children. One of your previous books was about the orphan trains, these trains that would race across the Midwest, make various stops, and kids who were orphans would sort of get off and look for a new family. Where does this interest in kids and kids' welfare come from?
I have a daughter adopted from Vietnam during the war, and she would have probably become a street child if she'd survived long enough. She was orphaned by the war. She was in a terrible orphanage over there. And we worked through one of the American groups that was trying to help those children. And in Vietnam, if you have any kind of blood tie, it could be a great uncle twice removed or something, you would not be allowed to be adopted, even if you're in a terrible orphanage. But if you had nobody, if you were an abandoned child, then they could get you to a new home. Not in Vietnam, because not during that war, because the family system was so fractured there. So they were always looking for homes in the West.
Is this book available at the Johnson County Public Library, Dennis?
Yes, I've got my copy with me.
Yeah, yeah. Is it going off the shelves?
Yes, I had to put a hold on it to get it.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. How do kids react to it?
I haven't really spoken to any children directly about it.
Kate, Debbie, anybody?
I know that the critical reaction has been very, very positive. Andrea always writes so well, and her books are always well received. But, she's gotten starred reviews and on best lists. And I think kids respond to her books as well. And that's part of the reason why, she's on these lists. It's not just that the critics like her, but the kids like her as well.
Yeah.
And the teachers.
Yes.
Yeah.
The teachers too.
Yes, that's important.
Very good. Well, Andrea Warren, thanks so much for coming in. Again, her book is Charles Dickens and the Street Children of London.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks so much, Andrea. You bet.